SAFE tackles an underlying problem for GA. The GA caucus gets a new leader. And Pelosi 1 will be retired in January. This is Arrow News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this Arrowcast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, November 15th, 2010. AOPA Summit wrapped up Saturday in Long Beach, California, and while the last brand name aviation trade show on the recession-hammered 2010 U.S. calendar drew a predictably weak flow of news from manufacturers, there was one notable bit of news that happened off-site. Before the official opening of the summit, AOPA attempted to gather stakeholders for a meeting on the declining pilot population, which is a threat not only to the industry in general, but to AOPA's future membership levels. On opening day of the summit at the Long Beach Convention Center on Thursday, SAFE, the Society of Aviation and Flight Educators, held its own press event a few blocks away at the Courtyard by Marriott to announce it will host a symposium in Atlanta next May to seek collaboration between the industry and FAA on a 3 to 5 year plan to improve the quality of flight instruction. One of the issues identified early by SAFE is the assumption that the way to build hours on the way to an airline career is to have inexperienced recent trainees serve as the pool from which most flight instructors are drawn, requiring 1,500 hours of flight time as a minimum qualification for occupying the right seat of a regional airliner threatens to further perpetuate that expectation. On board so far as stakeholders are Cessna, King Schools, Lightspeed Aviation, Redbird Flight Simulations, and Sporty's Academy, and SAFE says more announcements are coming. A committee to administer the symposium is headed by SAFE member Robert Wright, a retired manager of the FAA's AFS 800 General Aviation and Commercial Division, who now heads Wright Aviation Solutions LLC, an aviation safety consulting company. The venue in Atlanta next May hasn't been officially announced, and the event will be by invitation only. There's a dedicated website up and running, so you can follow details as they unfold at pilottrainingreform.org. On Friday, U.S. Representative Vern Ehlers, a Michigan Republican, announced in Long Beach that Congressman Sam Graves, a Republican from Missouri, will take over as co-chair of the House General Aviation Caucus starting in January. The National Air Transportation Association was quick to welcome the news. President James Coyne commented, quote, NATA is thrilled that Congressman Graves has been chosen to succeed Representative Vern Ehlers as the Republican co-chair of the House General Aviation Caucus. A passionate aviator himself, we can always count on his steadfast support of the general aviation industry, unquote. The caucus is sponsored by NATA and several other aviation alphabet groups to educate members of the House on issues important to the industry. It now includes more than 100 members. In the days since 9/11, the federal government has provided military aircraft for the routine commuting needs of the Speaker of the House, who is just below the Vice President on the chain of succession if an emergency was to strike. Republican Dennis Hastert began using a small jet, but outgoing Speaker Nancy Pelosi was widely criticized for upscaling that to an airliner-sized transport to accommodate her family and entourage and to fly coast-to-coast without refueling. Her habitual last-minute cancellations wasted military resources and taxpayer funds. Now that Republican John Boehner of Ohio appears in line for the job, he's announced that he plans to do his traveling on commercial airline flights and not just take over the aircraft known as Pelosi One. It's a conspicuous, if symbolic, effort at change. Politico reports that Boehner says he's been flying commercial to his district for his entire 20-year congressional career and doesn't see any real need to change. Kerry Hanley, the deputy House Sergeant of Arms, says the security threat has decreased to the point that the Sergeant at Arms is, quote, comfortable with him traveling commercially, unquote, both to his district and to other locations around the country. Up next on ANN, the FDA insists the porn scanners are safe. U.S. Airways Express pilots form a cross-company alliance. And Australian regulators extend the grounding of A380s. You're listening to Aero News.
Freedom through innovation. It's what led us to develop Cirrus Flying 2.0, the framework for a bold new take on private aviation. And as a result, the gap between the aircraft we produce and those of our competitors continues to widen. Cirrus knows where the personal aircraft industry is headed. We're already there.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for November 15th. I'm Paul Plack. Following last week's recommendation from the Allied Pilots Association that its members opt out of what the TSA calls advanced imaging technology, but which is more commonly known as backscatter, full body, or porn scans, a manufacturer of the technology has moved to calm fears among the public. As reported by Aero News on November 10th, APA President Captain David Bates sent a letter to Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano, which said in part, quote, "I share our pilots' concerns about this additional radiation exposure and plan to recommend that our pilots refrain from going through the AIT. We already experience significantly higher radiation exposure than most other occupations, and there is mounting evidence of higher-than-average cancer rates as a consequence," unquote. In response, the PR firm of Prism Public Affairs has issued a news release, not identifying the client, but quoting both an October 12th letter from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration and comments from Rapiscan Systems Executive VP Peter Kant, both offering assurances that passengers are not at risk. Kant comments, quote, "Rapiscan uses extremely low-energy X-rays to identify potential threats while ensuring the safety of individuals who pass through the Secure 1000. For example, in 2 minutes of a typical commercial airline flight, a person receives the same amount of radiation exposure that they would from one inspection by the Secure 1000. We have said all along that travelers can pass through our machines safely. It is again confirmed by the FDA and TSA," unquote. It's worth noting that science has long known risks from exposure to ionizing radiation are cumulative, so risks for frequent flyers will be higher than for the occasional traveler, and risks for pilots are already much higher than for the rest of us. Bates tells APA members, quote, "We are exposed to radiation every day on the job. For example, a typical Atlantic crossing during a solar flare can expose a pilot to radiation equivalent to 100 chest X-rays per hour. Requiring pilots to go through the AIT means additional radiation exposure," unquote. U.S. Airways pilots, represented by the Airline Pilots Association, have done something that would get the managers who sit across the table from them brought up on federal charges. They've formed an alliance to work across company lines. The stated purposes are to seek the highest level of safety in the U.S. Airways Express brand, improve pilot contracts, and protect pilot jobs. The U.S. Airways Express Pilots Alliance includes pilots from Air Wisconsin, Colgan, Mesa, Piedmont, PSA, and Trans-States Airlines. ALPA President Captain John Prater warns, quote, "ALPA pilots are not competitors, and we will not be whipsawed against one another by undercutting our peers," unquote. The alliance says it's working to coordinate operational programs among the ALPA Express carriers in order to provide the highest level of safety, training, and professionalism, and also implementing a means to improve contract standards. Pilots in the alliance are in contract negotiations right now with their respective companies. Qantas Airways, which is one of the most enviable safety records in all of commercial aviation, grounded its entire fleet of Airbus A380s after the uncontained failure of a Rolls-Royce Trent 900 engine shortly after takeoff from Singapore. The company promised a thorough investigation in cooperation with Rolls-Royce and Airbus and said the big planes would be returned to service as soon as possible. Now, Australia's Civil Aviation Safety Authority says maybe not. CASA says it will, quote, "decide if it's happy or not," unquote, with the findings of that internal investigation. The Australian Transport and Safety Bureau says it will publish a preliminary report on the incident no later than December 3rd. Rolls-Royce said Friday the issue is specific to the Trent 900 engine and that the failure was confined to a specific component in the turbine area that caused an oil fire which led to the release of the intermediate pressure turbine disc. Other operators of the plane equipped with a Trent 900 say they have not found evidence of any problem. Still ahead, the FAA wants new fatigue limits on airliners. Canadian businesses will sue the government over losses during the Olympics. And the Terra Fugia transition makes the Hommaker Schlemmer catalog. You're listening to Aero News.
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, November 15th. I'm Paul Plack. The FAA has finalized a rule designed to protect most of today's commercial planes and those designed in the future from structural failure as they age, in what the agency calls a continuing effort to address aging aircraft issues. The new rule seeks to prevent WFD, or widespread fatigue damage, by requiring aircraft manufacturers and certification applicants to establish a number of flight cycles or hours a plane can operate and be free from WFD without additional inspections for fatigue. Manufacturers have between 18 and 60 months to comply, depending on type. Operators must then incorporate the new limits into their maintenance programs within 30 to 72 months, depending again on type. After the limit is in the maintenance program, operators cannot fly the aircraft beyond that point unless the FAA approves an extension of the limit. The new regulation applies to airliners with a takeoff weight of 75,000 pounds and heavier. It also applies to all transport designs certificated in the future. In the U.S., 4,198 aircraft are listed in the rule. EASA is already working to follow suit in Europe. Find the actual text of the rule using a link at the bottom of the text version of this story, dated November 13th, at aero-news.net. A group of six air operators located in the lower mainland of British Columbia say they're going to file a claim against the government of Canada, asking the courts to order compensation for the loss of revenue and increased expenses, which occurred as a direct result of security measures last winter for the Vancouver Whistler Winter Olympics. The carriers and flight schools say their businesses were significantly impaired. In a news release, the company said that typically, air operators have been compensated as a result of air security regulations for events such as G8 meetings. The claims in this case top $1 million Canadian. Air Transport Association of Canada President John McKenna complains, quote, "It is quite unacceptable that the Canadian government not face up to its responsibilities. Transport Canada approved measures it knew full well were detrimental to the very livelihood of these small carriers," unquote. And finally today, the Christmas gift catalog companies that have my wife's name on their list have started the annual deluge to our mailbox. One of the more interesting arrivals in the past few days is the Hammacher Schlemmer catalog, with the slogan, "Offering the best, the only, and the unexpected for 162 years, unquote. And there on the front cover, the Terra Fugia transition. Terra Fugia has recently started protesting the phrase flying car, calling it technically incorrect, apparently preferring the term rotable aircraft. But turn inside the catalog and there it is on page 14 under the headline, "The Flying Car." When the transition was introduced back in 2006, before the first prototype flew, you could put down $7,400 as a 5% deposit against the expected sale price of $148,000. 2 years later, first delivery was projected for as soon as late 2009, and the price was upped to $194,000. Well, if you want a Terra Fugia transition, you better jump on it soon. The current price in the catalog is $350,000. But you won't be able to put the keys under the tree this Christmas. First delivery is now out to late 2011 at the soonest. There is one flying car you can put under the tree this year, or even in a stocking. Chitty Chitty Bang Bang has just been released on Blu-ray. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves explains his view that practicing slow flight is important not only for your proficiency, but for the future of general aviation. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.